What's going on, all my podcast listeners? See Jizzle and the Wizzle, bringing you another episode. Second one for tonight, but it's been kind of a break in between. It's now 3:49 in the morning, not 4 in the morning. I've been watching a little bit of videos and drinking a little bit. There was a video that I was watching where this guy started out with 3 points on a piece of paper. And I'm sure he has a compass or a ruler or something, but he started out with 3 points that were all equal to each other, a big triangle on a piece of paper. And in between those points, he made another point, halfway in between. And then on the other side of the triangle, he made another point halfway in between. And he kept going on and on and on until like 25,000 points. And it revealed this fucking beautiful, you know, after 1,000 points, it kind of starts to kind of get its image, kind of gets its outline. But after 25,000 points, it is literally a full-blown picture of this really extravagant, really detailed picture of this giant triangle with like thousands of other triangles on the inside of it. Some are big, some are small, some are, you know, but everything in the picture is a triangle. And they have a certain word for it. I forgot. It's called the Sierpinski Triangle. That's the name. So if you type that into Google or you type it into YouTube, I would probably type it into YouTube. But I think I found mine on Facebook videos. Watch videos on Facebook. And it's called the Sierpinski Triangle, which is spelled Sierpinski. I'm pretty sure. And it's a very abstract, detailed, cool design. And I'm thinking about maybe getting it tattooed. It just looks cool, you know, and if you stare at it long enough, you'll be able to see thousands of triangles in one fucking big triangle. It's like staring into a mirror or something. You just look into it and you see hundreds and thousands of other little triangles in there. And it's all geometrically even. Everything is even. So that tells me they had to use a ruler or something. I'm sure, you know, they have rulers out there that are like micro rulers, you know, with millimeters and whatnot. Centimeters, millimeters. And I'm sure that's what they're probably using. Because it's really hard to use just a basic 12-inch ruler and get the exact measurement in between. Especially when you start getting to, you know, after 1,000 points, up to 25,000 points, it starts getting very, 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 very hard. And I'm pretty sure you have to have a magnifying glass at that point. I'm pretty sure. But it was so beautiful, so crazy. I can't even explain it. I'd like to be able to do that with paint. I'd like to be able to do that same thing, but with paint. And that's really hard to do because, yeah, you know, they have different size brushes and stuff, but you can't really you can't really pinpoint it. like you could with a marker. When you take a marker or a fine point pen or whatever, you can just dab it somewhere and it'll blot the paper. Like a bingo dauber, you know? But if you're using a paintbrush, you can't really do that. And it's very hard to use a paintbrush and use straight lines. Symmetry, you know? I want to get into oil painting eventually. I want to get into more photography. I want to get into oil paintings. Video editing and stuff like that. But I have to get into van life first. I have to be able to have the free time to be able to do that. And I have to have the equipment, like cameras and laptops and stuff, to be able to do that. So for now, I just gotta work, you know, pay the bills. I watched this video of Joe Rogan, and fuck. And he was talking about what it was like to struggle back whenever he was 21 years old. And Joe Rogan was trying to be a comedian, trying to make ends meet, trying to get famous, trying to get his name out there. And he was really struggling back then. And for Joe Rogan to be as famous as he is right now and have podcasts and everything, he would have never thought that 20 years ago. He would have never thought that. But he's really successful and he's really famous over mainly just that, over Fear Factor and that. So, anywho, he said on his video, he said, if I have to go back to that, to struggling and being a comedian, I don't think I can do it. It just wouldn't be possible. And he said, sometimes you just gotta take a fucking chance. Sometimes it might be a dangerous chance. It might be something that you don't even think you have a chance at, and you just take that gamble, and sometimes it's what you need. And I feel like that's the way it is with van life. You just gotta take that gamble, leave out of state, leave out of your city, see what else there is out there, even though you don't know what's out there. I don't know what other jobs are out there or whatever, and it's very easy for me to go and get a job at a gas station or something over in Utah or over in Nevada. And the possibilities are probably endless, you know? But the thing that keeps me here, the thing that keeps me grounded, is my mother. And she's getting older. She's born in 1963, and I just have some bad feeling in the back of my mind that if I move out of state, she's going to end up passing. And I would hate, you know, of course I'm going to fly back or ride back or whatever, but I would just hate to be away from my mother and for her to pass. So I'm trying to build as much memories as I can while I still can. And so the only thing keeping me here is my mother. Honestly. If it wasn't for my mother, I would have done cashed out and left to another state. And so what I've got planned is, I don't want to have to work all year. I want to be able to work 6 months on and 6 months off. And there's a lot of jobs out there that you can get pretty easily if you're a van lifer. And one of those jobs is working for Amazon. I got this frog in my throat, man. And you can work there, especially during the busy seasons, you know, from Halloween to Christmas, maybe New Year's or a little after that, but it's about 6 months of working. Well, let's see. It's about 4 months. And sometimes they'll keep you around, sometimes they'll just get rid of you. And if that is the case, then there's plenty of other options out there that you could lean towards. And one of those options is the sugar beet harvest. And here's where that kind of conflicts, because the sugar beet harvest is in the wintertime. So I think, I'm pretty sure that you get paid more for the sugar beet harvest than you would at Amazon. And it's going to be long days, it's going to suck, it's going to be cold. But you could make enough money to buy groceries for a whole year in probably a month or less. I don't know. Very, very good money. And then, like I said, whenever you get done, you've made, you know, and I haven't talked to anybody in a while about this, but you could easily make $3,000 doing the sugar beet harvest, or more. There's a lot of people that make more, especially if you're driving the truck, you know. And, but they pay you a very good wage. They don't pay you minimum wage, they pay you over minimum wage. And you get overtime. There's going to be a lot of weeks where you're not just going to work 40 hours a week or 30 hours. You're going to be working nonstop 80 hours a week, some weeks. And that's all worth it, you know, when you break it down. Because, you know, overtime, I've tried explaining this to my coworkers and everything, but if you're just getting 42 hours, 44 hours, it's not worth it. But if you get 50, 60, 80, that's whenever it starts becoming worth it. Because the government is going to tax you more for getting overtime. So, I mean, I don't know. You're probably making a third of what you should be making, really. I don't know. But yeah, there's people that I know that live in van life. They work the sugar beet harvest up north, and they make enough money to pay for their groceries for a whole year. And then they go to another job, and they make a little bit more money, or they carve wooden spoons and sell them on Facebook Marketplace, or, you know, sell it on eBay, Amazon, whatever. And it's really easy to find a piece of wood and be able to carve it up. You're not going to be able to have, you know, 20 or 30 spoons made, so it's going to be kind of like as you order it. But that's something that I could always get into later down the road. And working on a farm, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there where plenty of farmers out there that'll hire you for picking peaches or picking oranges or whatever. I can go up north and do the sugar beet harvest, and then I can go down south to Florida or Georgia or whatever and pick peaches or oranges. And they're always hiring people for farm help, you know. And the farmers are always going to pay you at least minimum wage. They're not going to shorthand you. And they expect you to be a hard worker. You know, they want you, if they're paying you $12, $15 an hour or more, then they want you to produce some fruit or, you know, something. Because they can pay a Mexican $5 an hour, and a Mexican's going to be like, oh, this is a lot of money. But somebody like me, I already know, you know, they can't do that to me. So, but there's plenty of people out there looking for help. Farmers, Amazon. You know, during Christmas season, you can be at a lot of places, especially in California and stuff, selling Christmas trees, selling pumpkins and shit. And then about, you know, the beginning of the year, it starts dying down. No pumpkins, no Christmas trees, no sugar beets. Amazon doesn't really need you. So you gotta have something that you can fall back on at the beginning of the year. And it's gonna be kinda like your time off. You know, like I said, you get 6 months on working, you get 6 months off. But you still need to be making money. And so there are some places to where you can be like a proofreader or whatever and make some money. But you gotta have experience, you gotta have a laptop, you gotta have internet. Plenty of people out there that want to pay for photographs if you can produce them. There was a website, there was an app that was pretty awesome, and I forgot the name of it, but they have a theme every week where, you know, 1 week it might be green. The theme is green, and you go out and take pictures of leaves or things that are green. And businesses and companies will buy that picture off of you for $5 a piece or whatever. But the thing is, when they buy it, it doesn't just disappear. You can have multiple companies that buy it. And they buy it, and they buy it, and they buy it. So you don't just make $5 off of each picture. You can make $100, $200, $500 off of one picture. And then the next week comes along and they say they want something with water in it. You gotta take pictures of streams and water droplets and, you know, shit like that. And like I said, multiple companies are buying it. One company buys it, another company buys it. And maybe four companies will buy that same picture in a day. That's $20 right there in your pocket. Just because you took some pictures, you know, I mean. And it adds up. $20 turns into $40, you know. You might have 10 companies or 20 companies that buy that same picture. It can multiply. And I forgot the fucking name of it, man. I need to figure it out. But I also need to get a good camera. And I need to get a laptop. And I need to get a portable hard disk drive to where I can store all my shit on it. because I'm going to have a lot of movies, I'm going to have a lot of pictures, I'm going to have a lot of podcasts, and just the memory in the laptop alone is not going to be enough. So I'm going to start learning how to video edit. And that's going to take a little bit of time, especially while I'm in the middle of starting van life. Building shit and working on shit. And so it's going to be kind of rough for me to learn how to video edit. And I'm going to try my hardest, because when I start making YouTube videos, I want it to be good content. And I want people to actually enjoy watching it. So the thing with my content is it's going to be random. It's going to be very random. One day it might be me eating at a burger joint somewhere. And then the next day it might be me camping somewhere next to a stream and showing you how to cook steaks over an open fire or something. You know, I mean, it's going to be so random, but it's going to be, I want my content to always be interesting. I want people to always look at it and say, oh, okay, yeah, I can probably do that this way the next time I go camping. I might even throw in a fishing video where I do a little bit of fishing, you know. So it's going to be really random, but it's mainly going to be me just traveling from point A to point B and seeing different little restaurants along the way and different little gift shops along the way and kind of doing a review about it, pretty much. I would really like to start doing pizza reviews. And I know David Portnoy does that right now, the owner of Barstool Sports. But a lot of his places I've always wanted to try anyways. And a lot of places in New York, a lot of places on the East Coast, and I've got that shit on Google Maps. I've got it mapped out already. I've got it saved. Every little point I've got saved. I've got probably 1,200 fucking places or more on Google Maps that are already pinpointed. So all I'm doing is pinpointing everything that I want to see along the way, in every state and every city along the way. And I've even got points in other countries. I've even got pinpoints in other countries. So basically, all I gotta do is buy the van, start saving money, and then I can start making videos. And my podcasts, I'm still gonna do my podcasts, and I thought about that here recently. You know, I thought that it would be a good idea for me to get, eventually, after I start saving enough money from living in the van and shit, it would be good for me to get a cargo trailer that I can pull behind. You see a lot of people that are lawn maintenance or whatever, they've got their lawnmowers in it, but I want to put some insulation in it, put some walls in it, put some soundproofing, some sound deadening equipment in there, and I want to put a studio in it. So I can basically have a mobile podcast studio. I got my computer in there, I've got my microphone in there, shit like that. But it's really kind of, you can't really stealth camp and have that kind of shit. So it's not going to be until later down the road. But you can't really pull up on the, you can't really pull up in a random neighborhood with a van with a cargo tach pulled and not have somebody question on who the fuck are you and why are you parked in front of my house. And then the cops get called and a whole bunch of shit. And so it's not really smart to have a cargo trailer hooked up. And, you know, let's say you had to go do something and you wanted to detach the cargo trailer. You couldn't really leave it anywhere without somebody trying to break into it. So, I think eventually the cargo trailer podcast idea is going to be whenever I actually get some property somewhere. And instead of putting my studio in my house, I think I'm just going to put it in the trailer and build a little foundation out in my yard, and I'm just going to park that cargo trailer there, and that's going to be the studio. I haven't figured out where I want to get land yet, because Arizona has some really cheap land, but it gets really hot there. But if I'm only living there 6 months out of the year, then I don't really care. But, you know, another thing is, if I'm working the sugar beet harvest and everything up north for 6 months, or working at Amazon or whatever, I want to come back to Illinois for those 6 months to see family and whatnot. So I'm kind of at a crossroads. Even if I'm doing podcasts though, and I can do that out of my van, especially if I'm making them on my own most of the time, I can do that out of my van. I can have a laptop, I can have a Wi-Fi signal, and I can just have a microphone on a swivel, and I can mount that like halfway in between the van. So I can pull it towards myself if I'm in the back of the van and just record myself. Or if I have a guest, I can put it towards the middle of the van. I can have him sit on a stool and we can kind of talk back and forth. And I can probably fit like 3 people in a van. So, I think that's what I'm going to do starting out. And then, once things kind of progress, and once I get some more money, get some property somewhere, then I might make a bigger studio. But I think you gotta have baby steps. You gotta start out small. And I think it's a little bit more personal and a little bit more easier to make a podcast if you're in a smaller area. If you're in a comfortable little nook, you know, 3 people in a van sounds like a lot, but when you're sitting in there with the lights are dimmed down low and you got the proper equipment, it's going to be perfect. And when you're in a van, It's like being in a studio. It's a really confined place, so sound is going to carry very easily. And the good thing about having a podcast studio in your van is you can take it anywhere. You can go anywhere. You can have podcasts here. You can go out to the park or whatever where, you know, you take your guests out to the park and have your podcast. That way you don't have to worry about anybody disturbing you. Or you can take it to different states or different cities. If you know certain people and you want to give them, you know, a little bit of time, take it down to Florida. Right on the beach. Go out on the boardwalk, you see a couple crazy people that look like they're homeless. You're like, hey man, I want you to come back to my place and do a podcast with me. That's what it's about, right there. It's finding the most random fucking people. Sketchiest people. You know. Because I like to talk to people that have been around the block a few times. People that seem crazy, that are older, that are homeless, they know some shit. But who the fuck wants to have a podcast with somebody that is one of these pop teenagers? It's like, you know, look at me, you know, I don't know. I feel like random people, normal people, are more interesting than people that are out here trying to get attention or something. I don't know how else to explain it. Now, I do feel like there are some famous people out there and shit that would be interesting to have a podcast with, but when it comes down to it, it's the real people that you want to have. People that have different ways of looking at shit, and people that have been through some shit, seen some shit, done some shit. And, you know, we're going to see how it goes. I'm going to kind of dibble-dabble on a little bit of everything. Like I said, do a little bit of photography. I'm going to do a little bit of editing. I'm going to continue doing podcasts. I'm going to be making videos on YouTube. It's going to be a lot of shit to have to learn and do and deal with while I'm still working, you know, whether I'm working the sugar beet harvest or whether I'm still working at Pizza Hut. And I can't see myself being there for that much longer. So, if I could, and I had a van right now, I would just leave this fucking place and I would go and work on a farm somewhere doing the sugar beet harvest right now. But I've got shit in this apartment that needs to get rid of, stuff that I'm not going to use in the van. And if nobody's going to buy it or take it, I'm gonna have to fucking get rid of it. Like my couch and stuff like that. So, I'm not really in the shape to start van life yet, but it's on the horizon. I feel it. It's probably next summer. And there's no other time that's better than next summer. Do I think I'm going to have the money saved up by then? I don't know. I don't know. I might just have enough money for the van and maybe a heater system. I got to sit down tonight and kind of do some math. But I'm not going to have the money for insulation or anything like that. And that's kind of like, that's kind of key. I need to at least have money for insulation and a heater system. With electricity, I can get a little 280 jackery or whatever and charge it at work while I'm there all day. And those are like $250, I think. Instead of spending $2,000 or $3,000 on the jackery system that I want, which that'll come later down the road, but for me to get started, for me to live comfortably, be able to charge my phone at night and be able to be warm and stuff like that. I need to start thinking about it on a low level, starting out. And as I go along, I can buy shit. Because when you save $650 a month, that you don't have to pay towards rent, then it accumulates. And so not only am I going to have the money that I save from rent at $650, but I'm going to have extra money that I'm going to be able to save. So it might be like $800 a month. So in 2-3 months, I can have a new Jackery system with solar panels and all that shit. And I can keep that little 280 or whatever as a backup. That's probably what I'm going to do. But in order to start, I'm gonna have to get some insulation and some floors put in there. And I'm not a very good carpenter. I'm not very good at measurements. I mean, I think I'm good enough, but I don't know. And so, it's mainly going to be a one-man job. I got to go and buy the tools. It's probably going to be about $500. I got to buy the building materials. It's probably going to be about $1,200, $1,500. That's $2,000 right there. Plus the van is another $4,000. And then you got to register it, plate it, and all that shit. So we're talking, I need over $6,000. I need probably like $8,000. Altogether. And I don't think that I'm going to be able to save up $8,000 between now and the late end of next summer. And even if I do get the money by the late end of next summer, I'm not going to be able to start building it out because it's going to start getting cold outside again. And I'm not going to be able to glue shit or caulk shit. It's just going to be too cold. So, I don't know. I'm thinking we're just going to have to kind of see where we're at when we get to that point. If I've got enough money to buy the van and have building materials and buy tools, then I'll probably do it. But if not, if I'm going to be short and I've only got enough money to buy the van or something, then I'm just going to put it off and wait until the next spring after that. And I don't really want to wait that long. I really don't. But I do know if I do wait that long, at least I'm going to have enough money saved up for sure. And I'm going to have all the materials that I need to be able to live the next following winter. And I'll be able to also put bug screens in it since I'm going to be starting in spring. I'll be able to put bug screens in it. And then maybe by the summertime, I can live out of it. It's going to be kind of hot, but if I can get some bug screens put in there that are custom fit, you know, that are snap buttons that I can just snap on there, then I can leave my back door open. I can leave my side doors open. And so during the day, when it's really hot, I can park under a tree or in the shade. And even though it's 100, 110 degrees outside, it'll be 90, 80 degrees. And then once it starts cooling down, getting into the evening hours, it'll start dying down into the 70s, hopefully, and that's whenever I'll have to close up my van and find somewhere to park. And that's going to be kind of rough. It's going to be kind of rough. Because it's going to be hot as fuck. It's going to be at least like 80 degrees probably at nighttime in the summer. And me laying in the bed, if it's hot outside, I don't want anything laying on me anyway. It's maybe a light sheet, you know. But I think that, you know, I see a lot of people that are living van life and they got these special fans and shit that are like $150 and shit. You can kind of mount them on the wall and they're 12 volts so you can plug them into the Jackery battery and shit like that. But I would really like to know how much wattage or how much electricity a 20-inch box fan uses, because I can literally just put a box fan on me and it's gonna probably move a lot more air than a little 16-inch fan or 10-inch fan. Because the thing is, you're gonna have to buy two or three of those little fans. And it's going to be cool to kind of have them up in the corner. Maybe you can buy two of them and put a box fan in there as well and have like supreme circulation. But even if you keep your front windows cracked a little bit, and you got a roof vent with the fan blowing out, you got a box fan that's blowing on you, first of all, you're going to be using electricity. And I don't know how much one of these box fans use. I'm going to say it can't use more than 15 watts. If it uses more than 15 or 20 watts, I would be shocked. And so, you think 20 watts, you know, that's pretty good for a 20-inch box fan. Because even on those small ones, they're going to probably use that, you know. So, I don't know. I'd have to test it out. And that's kind of one of those things that you're not going to really know until you get, you know, get into van life. But a lot of people say it's miserable. It's fucking terrible. A lot of people that I talk to say that in the summertime, van life is fucking miserable. And I've been in places that haven't had air conditioning. And like I said, it all comes down to where you put your rig at. If you're parking it under a tree, it's going to be like 20 degrees cooler. But if you're living somewhere where it's humid, it's not going to fucking matter. You can try and use a swamp cooler or whatever. put some dry ice in a cooler and use a blower fan to kind of blow on you. That's a good alternative if you know where to get dry ice. If you're just using regular ice, it's just going to melt. And yeah. So you run a little drain tube, whether you get a styrofoam cooler or whatever, you run a little drain tube in it. And if it was me, I would use a really good Igloo cooler or a Yeti cooler or something. Those Rotomold coolers hold ice for like 5 days. So if you were going to use regular ice, I would drill a hole in the side of it and put a drain tube. All that water could just run out the side door or whatever. And so, you can do that. That's something that's going to kind of cost you some money, but it's how much worth it is it to you to stay cool versus being miserable. And you're not gonna, you know, when you get a swamp cooler and you got it blowing on you, you're not gonna have your whole van isn't gonna be air conditioned, but you're at least gonna have something that's blowing on you that's cool air. And if you got the fans kind of mixed in with it, it kind of helps. Unless you want to pay the money to get an air conditioning unit actually put in. And those are really expensive. Those are like $800, $900. And you have to be hooked up to electricity to be able to use those. Unless you have a battery bank that's really big. And so if you're just camping on a side street somewhere, you're not going to be able to use it. Unless you're parked somewhere where you're like camping, pretty much. And that's another thing. I seen an attachment where you can cut a hole in the side of your van, and on the inside, the attachment is an extension cord, and on the outside is a female plug. So you can just run an extension cord off of somebody's house if you're visiting for the holidays or whatever. You can run an extension cord and plug it straight into the side of your rig and have power. Kind of like a offshore power line or whatever they call it. But yeah, it's really simple. You just drill a hole in the side, and on one side it's got an adapter, and on the other side it's got a fucking extension cord. And then you just seal it up with silicone, and you're good. And if you ever got to replace it, it's really simple. You just take the silicone off, take it out of there, and put a new one in. Really simple. So that's if you're trying to get power. But if you've got a Jackery battery or whatever, you don't need to get power. You can still use it. You know, if you're visiting for holidays and you plug up somewhere, you can still use it to charge up your battery and to use your lights, to run your heater, whatever. So that's what I'm going to end up doing. It's going to take a little bit of, like I said, it's going to take a little bit of time to be able to find a van around here, because there's so many rusted out pieces of shit. If it's not around 100,000 miles, and if it has rust on it, I don't want it. I'm trying to find something that's going to last me at least a couple years. And if I have to fucking find something that's got rust on it, I want it to be really, really minimal. Because think about it, you know. I live in an area where it's really salty, it's really moist, it's really wet, especially during the winter. And I don't want to have to worry about that getting up through the floorboards or, you know, anything like that. So, like I said, I'm only planning on living out of it for a couple years to save some money. And then I'm going to buy something else. And that's kind of what you have to do, is kind of take baby steps and get something and then save some money and move on to something else and save some money and move on to something else. That's the only way to get ahead. But around here in Illinois, there are no good vans for sale. I can find plenty of them in Indiana, Ohio, other neighboring states. But in order to get it shipped back here and pay the taxes, I'm just not really willing to do that. So, we're going to see. I'm not going to really worry about it until it gets closer to time, until I actually have the money to pay for it. So, I don't have $4,000 in my pocket. I don't have $2,000 in my pocket. I don't even have $1,000. So, for me to worry about it right now, it's not really doing any good. And, you know, something might come along within the next 6 months. Or somebody might be ready to get rid of something in a year, you know. I always told myself that to wait around for the right opportunity. Don't jump on the first fucking thing that you see. And, you know, a lot of people, especially people that are family, that I know, they're like, they're still second guessing me. They're like, dude, do you really think you're going to be able to live in a van? And I'm like, hell yeah. It would make my life so much easier. You know, at first it's going to be kind of hard to be able to fall asleep in a van. You know, I already kind of have a hard enough time falling asleep here in my apartment. Because if somebody breaks in, which I've never had that problem. I've been here for 2 years and I've never had any problems. But if somebody were to break in, then I'm always on high alert. And you have more chances of somebody breaking into your van because somebody wants to steal it, or somebody wants to break into the back to maybe get some tools out of the back. Nine times out of ten, if you wake up and you say hey or something, they'll run away because they don't think anybody's living out of it. But if you tell somebody, hey, get the fuck away from my shit, and they're still trying to break into your shit, that's whenever gunplay kind of comes involved. And I don't like to think about that. I don't like to get into that. So, anywho, I've got, like I said, I've got tomorrow off. It's going to be pretty good day, I think. Like I said, I'm hoping to get as much shit as I can done tomorrow. Go see my mom. Finish up my Christmas shopping online. Maybe get some other food to eat if I got some more money left over. And so I'm just going to spend all day tomorrow getting high and doing laundry and visiting my mother and, you know. It's getting to be about 56 minutes into this podcast. It's coming to an end. And I wish I could make another one, but I just don't have the time. It's about 4:47 in the morning. Definitely later than what I expected. I expected to be in bed by like 5 or 6 in the morning, so either way, I don't care. So then I gotta go back to work the next day. I can already feel it, you know. I think I need to, you know, in between doing laundry and seeing my mother and doing my shopping and cleaning up, I need to look for another job as well. So it's going to be a pretty busy day tomorrow, even though I'm off. Even if I didn't wake up until 2 in the afternoon, I still can do a lot of shit. I can look for a job, I can do my Christmas shopping, I can do my laundry and shit, and then I still got the rest of the evening. So I really need to do some shopping, but I'm gonna wait until I get all my Christmas shit done so I know how much money I have to spend. I really need to do some grocery shopping. But anywho, it's getting about 58 minutes in, and I think I'm going to call it quits. I'm probably going to make another episode tomorrow. 90% sure we're going to make another episode tomorrow. So keep it locked. I'll let you know what's going on. But it's just another day in C Jizzle's little whizzle that's going on. And I'm just trying to make the best of it. So trying to get through this shit and move on to the next chapter of my life. And I know it's not here. So till the next one, it was real. It was fun, but it wasn't real fun. Deuces.